In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, many of the fathers of the church have contrasted the miraculous birth of Elizabeth and the miraculous birth of the Holy Virgin. Elizabeth, of course, was from the lineage of Aaron, and St. Mary was from the house of David. They were both in a situation where there was great controversy about their pregnancies, and they both gave from their womb to humanity the greatest gifts, and the Lord himself declared that there is no greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. And of course, from St. Mary, the day spring on high, the day spring from on high, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both the Son and the Light. So we think about these things that prepared for us. You know, the Bible has such great constancy and consistency to it. We hear in the words of Isaiah about the voice of the prophet crying in the wilderness, and then we read in the Gospel of John where the Baptist looks and he sees his Savior, and it's written, John cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And so you see the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and then the gospel declares, John cried out, saying. It didn't say, John spoke. John delivered the following message. John cried out, saying. In other words, the fullness of the expectancy of the prophet to meet it in this way manifest in the flesh was almost something that John could not contain. And so we look at the prophet Ezekiel when he was going to be given this horrific task of going to people who did not want to hear his message, and to make him bold. It's written in the first chapter that the Lord had given him a vision, and he said, "Well, what is this?" And he said, "I see the rod of an almond tree." And the Lord said to him, "I will hasten my word to perform it." And the rod of the almond tree means the cross. It's and the almond, if you take an almond and you look at it, it looks like a drop of blood. So you can see the image that is there presented, not unlike when we look at the bush that Zechariah saw in his vision. There are many symbols, and these are important, of course, for us to realize the fullness of the gentle way in which a message is received. The Lord doesn't declare it just A, B, C like that. Sometimes he will prevent a picture. He will present a picture, and this picture will be beautiful. And then there will be time for a person to meditate on it so that the awareness of the fact comes upon the one slowly and incrementally rather than as a shock. This is going to happen to you. People would be aghast if they heard these things for the first time. This is going to happen. Many times the Lord said to his disciples when they inquired over much, he said, "I cannot tell you now because you cannot bear it." You cannot bear it. But with the gentleness and the consistency and the love of which we receive in this generation of ours, the same gift that was given the first time with the birth of the Savior. This is amongst all of the miracles. Now, it's written here in the English, because some of you were here when I spoke and said there is an error in the doxology, because when Zechariah went to write his name is John, when he put his pen to say, or his stylus. It's a stylus actually on a clay tablet, if you want to be technical. So his name is, and when he began to write the name John, it came out of his mouth instead. So the Word of God, who had been given acknowledgement while in the pregnancy. You see this icon over on the wall. We're the only one that has it in the whole church. There is the greeting of Saint Mary with Saint Elizabeth. And you can see that Saint Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, and you see the internal reality in the womb that is written where you see the Savior in Saint Mary's. As soon as Saint Mary spoke, the child who had no other faculty of hearing except by the grace of God heard the voice of the one carrying the Savior, and he leaped in the womb. Now, these are not the ears of, for example, Giovanni, my grandson. Even when you speak to Giovanni, unless you're tempting him with something he wants, he doesn't hear you. He goes about his business, and so most children. Well, let me say, this is not the case spiritually. Spiritually, the Lord speaks, and spiritually, the individual is moved. So, when it's written, fear came on all those who dwelt when they knew about this marvelous birth to this very, very old couple, and how the angel Gabriel had closed his mouth, and it's written by the fathers in the commentaries that John, his son, opened his mouth when he was called Grace of God, the Grace of God, which is what John means. And if you look at it from two different ways, from the point of view of God, I have given you this grace. From the point of view of humanity, looking at John the Baptist, the grace was indwelling. So there's on one hand it's received, and on the other hand it emanates. So John went out into the desert immediately. He lived the ascetic life amongst the Essenes, and when his time had come, he went to the Jordan River and he prepared the people for reconciliation with their God through repentance and a spoken acknowledgement of their sins. Now, this did not save them, but this prepared them to be saved. It's just exactly the same as when you come and you sit with your father of confession and you give a litany of your sins. That does not save you. What saves you is at the end when the prayer of absolution is prayed over you, and then you are restored to fullness. And we do this over all of the women who give birth who are just separated from communion. We do this in many, many different instances. So fear came upon all those who had heard these sayings, and it wasn't just the local. It was throughout the world. This was a voice that carried. You know, when the Lord came, his voice was not just for a special group of people, but in the ears of the one who had heard, and then from the mouth, it was like a thousand echoes. And more and more and more and more. You know, I told you the story of my ordination before. It bears repeating because I called my wife to say that I was going to be ordained a priest. And she said, I know. You know, and I think, I thought she was being, I don't know, flippant, I guess, at I said, no, I'm telling you. She says, I know. I said, I just found out. And I'm just now telling you. It's going to be on November the 14th. I'm telling you this, right? And she says, well, okay. And he said, but the Pope called me. I said, oh. And I started to tell her about other things that I did, right? Because I had to move on to the next thing because I had already, my balloon had been burst. So she kept saying, yeah, I know. And then now I was getting upset. But she did know. She did know. And it's because there were people in Egypt that heard things, and it traveled. And who am I? I'm nothing. But people in America knew exactly my itinerary, you know, almost the day I was aware of it myself. And my comings and goings, and if you think about the nativity of Jesus Christ, the way it spread, as we use today in terms of the internet, it went viral. It went everywhere immediately. And it said that the everyone marveled. Now, Zechariah, when he saw all, and remember, this is the eighth day for his circumcision. This is where his dedication to God is going to be, and this is when the naming of the child, you know, I mean, officially takes place. We baptized Giovanni, and his name in baptism is Sebastian, a son of the martyrs of Sebastian. Also, there's a saint in the Orthodox Church called Saint Sebastian, who was shot by arrows and then clubbed to death. So the arrows weren't sufficient. The eighth day is a spectacular day, not simply because it's for the dedication of the child, but it is because on the eighth day of the week that the Lord himself was made manifest after rising from the dead. That's why after the Sabbath, the Lord appeared and he spoke to all, and he said, as we are now continuing in our tradition, we pray on the eighth day of the week, the day of completeness. So Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked at his son, and he said, "Blessed is the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets." He was speaking to his child, and it was by the same ears that the child heard the voice of Saint Mary, the Holy Virgin, who was carrying the Lord, that caused him to leap in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. It is by the same ears that the prophet hears the Spirit of God. It is not by the physical ears. It is by the ears of, poetically speaking, the ears of the Spirit that dwells in us, that is sensitive to the Word of God and to the message that God brings us. And, you know, he goes on, Zechariah, in this poem, or some people call it even a song. Sometimes it's called the Song of Zechariah. And he said that he, since the world began, meant that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. He wasn't talking about temporal enemies. He's talking about the spiritual enemies. He's talking about Satan and all of his evil powers. He's talking about the dominions of those who are antagonistic to the focus and the mission. Remember, we heard today in the readings that St. Paul reminds us that not everyone who is an Israelite is an Israelite. Not everyone who is a Jew is a Jew. We can extend this to be something to warn us in our own churches. Not everybody who sits next to you in church is a Christian. It is not just because you have this imprint or you have a driver's license. You know, you get this by being it in truth, and you get this by the work. And when I say by the work, I mean the effort to toe the line. You are ultimately not going to be graded because of how well you do, but about how hard you try. It is the most important thing, is that the effort that you give. The Lord, no matter what it is that you have left undone, he is going to complete that for you. If you have the symbol of Jacob's ladder and you are somewhere on the ladder, if you're on the next to the bottom rung and there's somebody who is next to the top of the ladder, both have not made it into the kingdom. So whether you are on the next to the bottom rung or the next to the top rung, both of you need assistance. So we don't look at people and say, oh, well, this person, look at this person, he has these characteristics, he's great, he's a shoe-in for the kingdom of heaven. Not unless the mercy of the Lord coextends to him and his situation. If the Lord has found him next to the bottom on the ladder because this man has been lazy, because this man has been neglectful, because this man has been concerned with other things, he may wind up never going to the top. The same thing with the man who has climbed all the way in his own mind all the time, thinking in a very proud and vain way that I have done this by myself. This man who is next to the top might not make it either. So when we look at people, we do not judge this. We can judge on a temporal level. What does this mean? If I see someone doing something that is wrong, I'm going to correct them. That means I first had a judgment, and now the correction is going to come. But I never say, and never will say, this person, and then make another statement with regard to their eternity. I don't know how any of you are going to end up. I have a prayer for all of you. I myself do not know how I am going to end up. I have a prayer for myself. I wish to be in God's kingdom. I wish to be with him. And I wish for all of you to be there as well. And I don't just wish, I pray. So this is the important part, because anyone can wish. You know what they always say, the wishes of beggars, if they were horses, then the beggars could ride. But this seldom comes true. So wishing is just a turn of a phrase. We pray for one another's salvation. And so being delivered from the hand of our enemies, we then will be enabled to do what? To serve the Lord without fear. You know, one of the things that we pray at the altar is we pray for, when we're going around with the incense, pray for the peace of the church. We pray for our congregations, not just this congregation, but all congregations everywhere. That they might be held without hindrance, that they may not be prevented. And every time we go around, the priest says this. It's very important that you understand that even though some of the prayers that I am saying are silent, because you are also on the outside also praying, and we don't want to have a cacophony of words. We want to have something that is smooth and manageable to the mind. But these prayers are going on all the time. I am busy. Every time I am doing something, I am saying a prayer. I'm going around the church, I am saying a prayer. If you will pay attention to me, I incense the icons of the saints individually. I don't just raise my hand one time. And it's because every one of these things is individually important. Not just collectively. Individually. You're not part of a congregation. You are also individuals. Each one with a special need and a special interest. And we recognize that in one another. But we might be able then, because of the Lord preventing the activity of the devil, we might be able to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And Zechariah speaks to his son directly now with these words. He said, and you will be called the prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. How did he know this? How did he know this? It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is given these things. This is not just the wishes of a father for his son. This is something that is entirely accurate and given to him by God. Through the tender mercy of our God, which the day spring from on high, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he know? How did he know the day spring from on high would be in his day? The prophets from 600 years before the Nativity were talking about it. It happened, though, in his day to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our way into the way of peace. And it says, the Lord was with the child. He grew and became strong in spirit. Now, when we speak of strength, we do not speak of bodily strength, although that is sometimes one of the things that coextends to the grace of God. Because in order to do some of the things that are necessary in life, you have to have bodily strength. It is why we should all take care of our bodies. We shouldn't be fat, we should all exercise, and we should all be strong to carry the love that we have for the Lord throughout the decades of our life. So that we shouldn't be like the pathetic image of the one that was born on the litter by four of his friends who dropped him after removing the tiles in the house porch to let him down before the Lord. So feeble was he. So feeble and so useless was he. But his friends loved him. Okay, we shouldn't put this burden on our families or our friends. We should be strong as we possibly can, until the very last breath. So the grace that God has given you with your body, make sure that you fulfill it. But it is not the grace that is the one that is the most precious. The most precious is that, the strength and the grace of the Spirit. But that comes from God alone, and it comes by measure, because God will choose upon whom he will have mercy, and he will choose those for whom he will have no mercy, as you heard about the two brothers, one of whom he loved and one of whom he hated, because one was thinking about his material life and not about his birthright, and so sold it to his brother for a bowl of lentils. Let us not be this way. So, we look forward to the pastoral messages of Anba Serapion and His Holiness Pope Tuadros II for the Nativity celebration. And we want to be here and to be full of joy. And it's the expectancy of the birth. So the present that we unwrap on this night will be the one that is the most secretly coveted by all of us as the most precious gift. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.